to stop to think what's ahead of me. Or it's way too far. They just show on up with their big old heart. You find out who your friends are. Everybody wants to slap your back, wants to shake your hand when you're up on top of that mountain. But let one of those rocks give way, then you slide back down, look up and see who's around then. This ain't where the road comes to an end. This ain't where the bandwagon stops. This is just one of those times when a lot of folks jump off. You find out who your friends are. Somebody's gonna drop everything, run out and crank up their car. Hit the gas, get that fast, never stop to think what's in it for me. Or it's way too far. They just show on up with their big old hearts. You find out who your friends are.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. And France authorities still investigating what they say was a coordinated attack on the country's train system. It comes ahead of opening ceremony for the Paris Olympics. ABC's James Longman is in Paris.
Three fires were set along rail lines to the north and the east of Paris. It could be that with so much security in place here in the capital that these attackers found easier targets elsewhere. It's caused massive delays and cancellations. Nearly a million people will have been affected through the weekend.
In Springfield, Illinois, civil rights attorney Ben Crump calling for full accountability following the officer shooting death of Sonia Massey inside her home. Sangamon County Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson let go immediately and is charged with her murder, the coroner ruling her death a homicide. Thousands of fire crews battling wildfires in Northern California. Authorities say the Park Fire was arson and has charred 164,000 acres. It's now the state's largest blaze so far this season. This is ABC News. Justin Timberlake's DWI case now adjourned till next week. A lawyer for the entertainer insisting he was not drunk when police pulled him over earlier this month on New York's Long Island. An unexpected find by Polish divers off the coast of Sweden.
Video images of the old sailing wreck shot at the bottom of the sea some 200 feet down. The team from Baltic Tech discovered, to their amazement, the remains of a vessel that went down around the time of the U.S. Civil War, loaded with luxury goods, including over 100 bottles of champagne. It's thought the ship was on its way to royal residences, either in Sweden or Russia, when it sank. Tom Rivers, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
Already breaking the box office, Deadpool and Wolverine. Disney, the parent company of ABC News, says the comic book movie sold about $38.5 million of tickets at preview screenings last night. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 35% off paints and stains from July 26th through August 5th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Aylin. The first round of agricultural road grants are being awarded to projects around Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers was in Elk Mound this week, one of the communities benefiting from the funding.
They applied for making sure that they have a good road here. It's a short road, but an important road, so that the grain can continue to be taken care of here and shipped out to folks across the world.
The $50 million in funding will go to improve rural roads and bridges in 28 counties. The second gentleman is coming to Wisconsin.
According to a campaign press release, Vice President Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, will be campaigning in central Wisconsin over the weekend. It's his first visit to the state this year. The second gentleman will deliver remarks Saturday at the 7th annual Hmong Wausau Festival and then headline a canvas launch for Harris and Democrats up and down the ballot in Stevens Point. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Two soldiers from Wisconsin killed during World War II have been officially accounted for.
Army Air Force Staff Sergeant Ralph H. Bodie was a tail gunner on board a B-24H Liberator and was lost when his aircraft was shot down while on a bombing mission over Kassel, Germany. In 1951, investigators located the crashed aircraft, scattered bits of clothing, and the bones of multiple service members believed to belong to those on Bodie's plane. Last December, scientists were able to identify Bodie's remains by using anthropological analysis. And Army Air Force Sergeant Jack Holfield was captured by Japanese forces in 1942 and was one of thousands of American and Filipino troops forced into doing the 65-mile Bataan Death March. He was then held at a POW camp, and records show he died in December of 1942, but wasn't accounted for until May of this year, 84 years after his death. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Summer's coming in hot, so it's time to cook up some fun at Mall of America, because it's always a cool 72 and sunny here. Plus, all the summer best in one place. Join SpongeBob SquarePants 25th anniversary celebration. Get slimed at Nickelodeon Universe. Hit new heights on the Fly with Opera ride and Boots Banana Swing. It's shopping Nirvana, Crayola Experience Creativity, Hangout Heaven. Go all in on summer, all at Mall of America. mallofamerica.com/summer.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Another picture-perfect day on tap today, with mostly sunny skies and high temperatures soaring to those mid-80s. A few clouds build in overnight, but we stay sunny for tomorrow, too, and spike to near 90, with that humidity on the rise. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 79.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
We're on this week's Free for All. We'll get to economic data, the rise of Vice President Harris to the top of the Democrats' ticket, and we'll take a look at Harris's positions on some key ag issues. But first, let's hear about the layoffs and production shifts at John Deere.
Live from a final Friday in July via Farm Journal broadcast or studios, take your pick. This is AgriTalk. This morning, it's the Friday free-for-all with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, and Tyne Morgan. Tyne is also doing the news, and we'll have pork news from Jennifer Scheich. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Big Apple Joe, thank you so much, and welcome to AgriTalk. It is a gorgeous 72 degrees and sunny here outside the bunker. It's unbelievable. We're headed for a high of 84. Now, it's going to get hot. It's going to get hot this weekend, but it is the end of July, and county fairs are happening all over the place. It's either got to be raining cats and dogs or about 100 degrees on the heat index if it's going to be county fair season. So nothing that we shouldn't expect. Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, joins us right now. Tyne, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing so well. And Chip, you mentioned the weather. I was in Arkansas and Tennessee earlier this week, and it was unusually mild. It was not super hot. And let me tell you, maybe I shouldn't say this on your show, but the crop looks phenomenal down there. Best corn crop probably they've ever had in that northeast corner of Arkansas. Could be the best soybean crop. It's like a greenhouse. Perfect timing for rains. Not too hot. I'm sure your listeners aren't going to be happy with me saying that. But
I'll counter that a bit. Look at what's happening on the East Coast, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, down into Georgia. They've just gotten burnt up. That corn crop there, everything that we're gaining in Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, I think we're losing in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. How's that?
Yeah, when you talk to the world record for corn yield, that holder, David Hula, And he's talking about sub 100 bushel per acre corn for dry land crop. Speaks volumes. There's problems out there. There are definitely pockets of problems.
No doubt. No doubt. Tyne, you had a great conversation with the president of John Deere, the ag operations, turf operations as well for North America, and we're going to have some details of that coming up in the next segment. But first, let's go ahead and get to the news. What have you got?
Yeah, thanks. We're going to talk about that exclusive interview coming up because we did speak to Corey Reed, who is, as you mentioned, the president of the company's worldwide ag and turf division for production and precision ag. First time that Deere has spoken about those layoffs. So we'll talk about that. But, you know, you mentioned it, Chip. We've been covering the recent Deere layoffs with the decision to lay off some salaried employees just this week. But it's not just Deere. We told you earlier this month about cuts to AGCO, the machinery manufacturer, announcing it's filing a plan to cut 6% of its salaried workforce, also citing weakening demand in the ag industry. Now, it's announcing plans to sell the majority of its grain and protein business. This includes its GSI grain bin storage and monitoring technology brand. Some people may not even know that that is owned by AGCO. It plans to sell its American Industrial Partners in an all-cash transaction valued at $700 million. The deal is anticipated to close before the end of the year, pending regulatory approval. So, I mean, Chip, when you talk about this, it is more than just Deere that's looking at layoffs right now. Deere's just kind of on the front end, and they are taking the brunt of some of this media coverage.
No doubt. And AGCO, this is a really difficult decision for them because these assets that they're laying off, they have purchased within the last, call it 10 years, and it cost them well over $1 billion. And now here they are trying to get $700 million. It's tough deal for AGCO.
Well, in other news, the state of Colorado is ramping up its testing of H5N1. So the state now requiring dairies to test milk supplies for the avian flu virus every week. The new mandate aims to identify additional farms that could be infected and spread the disease to other dairies or poultry flocks. Colorado has confirmed infections in four dairy herds since the U.S. outbreak in dairy cows began in late March, with about 60% of its cases reported in the last month. But Chip, we're testing more in Colorado. Yeah. So we're going to see more of these cases. So that's just something to note there. All right. All of those attacks in the Red Sea, Chip, I mean, we've been covering it because it's not only causing hurdles for ships trying to transport goods through there. It's now being reported that carbon emissions from the shipping industry have surged recently. Okay. So experts say it's partly due to vessels taking longer routes around South Africa to avoid militant attacks in the Red Sea. Marine Benchmark says ships emitted about 450 million tons of CO2 in the first half of 2024. That's a 6% increase from the previous year. But these attacks, I mean, we're not just having, it seems like these emission issues are the least of their worries right now. They're just trying to ship some of these goods and having to take longer routes.
Concerns? I mean, it might actually get some of the European leaders involved in trying to control what's happening in the Red Sea.
Very good point there. All right. Couple other quick news items. The merger between supermarket chains Kroger and Albertsons, it's on hold for now. A Colorado judge issuing an order temporarily blocking the proposed $25 billion deal. That hold will be in effect until a ruling is made on Colorado's lawsuit over the merger. The state's attorney general, filing suit in February. And then I want to end on this because I know you need to get to Jennifer Shike. But if you've ever been to the Ohio State Fair, you know what the main attraction is, Chip. Do you know what that is?
Well, it's maybe the same thing that it is at the Iowa State Fair.
The
butter cow.
Oh, the butter cow. I mean, it gets national attention every year. This year, it's a tribute to the Olympics. 2,000 pounds of butter have been carefully sculpted to depict a snapshot of our nation's top athletes moving to victory. See what I did there? The butter cow calf and additional sculptures honoring America's athletes were revealed. The team spent 450 hours to complete the display, with 375 of those spent inside a 46-degree cooler. Maybe that was nice on a hot day, but I'm telling you what, I get tired spending 2 hours on something. I can't imagine 450 hours dedicated.
That's right. It certainly is. Thank you, Tyne. Stick around. We're going to talk more with you coming up in the next segment. Jennifer Shike, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
So this is a fascinating story to me. Sometimes you don't always know what research is going to uncover for you, do you?
Well, you don't. And I think sometimes we find things when we're trying to do something else that may have application somewhere else. And I think this story is a great example of that. You know, I've heard of a lot of people lately who've been talking about alpha-gal syndrome, which is this unusual allergy to red meat that can come after you get bit by a Lone Star tick.
Yep.
And, you know, I when I think about that, I feel so sorry for people because I can't imagine a life without meat. And yep. So a new story shows from the Associated Press that gene-edited pigs that are created for organ transplant research are able, the pork from those pigs that are not used in research, but the other pigs that are part of that project, is able to be used for people who have alpha-gal syndrome, and they can eat pork without having any problems because one of the first things they did when they were working on these organ transplant pigs was shut off that alpha-gal sugar because that can be a big barrier in the human immune system. So they shut off that gene. And now that pork is able to be used by people who suffer from that allergy. And, you know, it's not been adopted for commercial use yet, but it's an interesting thing to think about as we think about the future of gene editing.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it, Jennifer. This is a fascinating story. It really is. www.porkbusiness.com is where you can get more on that. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
You bet. Jennifer Shaik, editor, Farm Journal's Pork Free for All is next.
Farming is unlike any other job in the world. It takes years of experience to really walk the walk. Same goes for your financial partner, which is why choosing FBN Finance makes so much sense. FBN Finance was created by farmers to help you become even more competitive with flexible terms, rates, and instant approvals up to $2.5 million for qualified applicants. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Great. Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit soybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. It is Friday, means it's time for the free for all. Let's bring in the team. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. How are you, Sean?
Chip, it is great to be here. I missed last week, unfortunately. It felt like I was just so disappointed in myself. I had to travel, but I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. Well, it was good to see you
slacker.
Last week, Sean. Yeah, slacker. Exactly. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. I want to say hi to the Maryland Corn and Soybean Growers Association, who I spoke to yesterday, and what a good group. And I told them I bring rain, Chip, and they needed it, and it poured.
Well, can you come to Western Canada then while you're just the bringer of rain?
Yeah. Yeah. They told me they should have had me speak in June.
Yeah, you know, you and I did that down in Memphis. They'd been needing the rain, and we showed up in Memphis and it rained down there, Sean. I mean,
well,
you can do
you
it
go.
Too. Put that on your resume.
I exactly, on my CV. Yeah. Perfect.
Right. Tyne Morgan, host of the U.S. Farm Report, is also with us. Tyne, you had a conversation with Corey Reed. It's just out this morning. It's an exclusive conversation with the president of the Worldwide Ag and Turf Division for Production and Precision Ag at John Deere. Tell us about the conversation.
Yeah, I'm thankful that they reached out. You know, they've given public statements, Chip, but they have not done a one-on-one interview with anyone. Mm-hmm. And so John Deere recently laying off a significant number of salaried employees. That came this week. That's on the heels of, you know, laying off nearly 18 or a little over 1,800 production workers. And so, you know, they've been catching a lot of flack, been in the headlines, and we've only seen written statements from the company. But this week, Corey Reed, president of the company's Worldwide Ag and Turf Division for Production and Precision Ag, he actually traveled to our studios in Lenexa, Kansas, and spoke publicly about the layoffs for the first time in an exclusive interview with Farm Journal and U.S. Farm Report. Okay, so, you know, when I was talking to him, asked him about, you know, what are they projecting their demand for farm equipment. What is the drop? What is the projected drop this year? Now, in Q1 earnings, Chip, they said they expected a 20% drop in some demand for ag equipment this year. Okay, that's what they said in the beginning. Guess what, Chip? They're still holding to that. They still think it is a 20% drop in demand that we will see this year. Here's what Corey had to say about that.
We kind of had the tail of two ends of the year. If you looked at the front half of the year, in fact, if you took the large row crop tractor business, what you would have seen is a market that was still peaking in the April and May timeframe. A lot of buyers in the market based off of the performance last year. As we hit May and going into June, what you saw is those used inventory levels start to and continue to grow. And you saw buyers start to pull back. Those trade differentials look different for them, and they start pulling back at a faster rate. So, you know, the combination, that 20% is a front half of the year that looks pretty good and a back half of the year where we're producing far fewer tractors and far fewer pieces of machinery overall in the second half of the year versus the first.
Okay.
So, Chip, I mean, you look at AEM numbers, though, okay? And you look at June, the flash report, combine sales down over 30%. All tractor sales down 16%, okay? They are saying a 20% drop, but you look at the numbers coming from AEM and industry-wide, we are seeing a larger drop in equipment than what even a lot of economists, what a lot of equipment manufacturers expected. Farmers are pulling back. And Jim, I know this week, when you look at what was the testimony on Capitol Hill and looking at the farm economy, there are some grave concerns out there. And I did ask you, are we on the brink of an ag recession? And you say no. Do you still believe that?
Do I?
Oh, well, yes.
We're not in one now, but it's clearly heading there. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And lots of problems. I mean, the farm sector net income down 27% is the latest estimates from 23 into 24. So okay. A 20% cut in equipment demand, I think, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, yeah, year to date, we're down. You know, Tyne was talking about the AEM flash report. You know, year to date in the U.S. on combines, we're down 17% year to date. Like, who's shocked by the fact that John Deere's having to do some layoffs? And this is a simple case of be careful what you wish for. For the past 3 years, we've talked about, you know, farmers begrudgingly saying, you know, these equipment companies are making too much money. Look at, you know, how much money's being made. Well, now they're not making the money, and now here comes the cutbacks.
Well, and, you know, not only cutbacks that we're already seeing, but Jim, I want to get your thoughts on this because I talked to Ben Brown, an economist for the University of Missouri this week. He thinks that maybe USDA could adjust 2023 net farm income figures lower. Can they do that? Or is it unprecedented that they do that?
Oh, no. There's wide changes throughout the year for farm income estimates. Yeah. That's just like throwing a dart against the wall.
Well, I know for 2024.
Even backwards looking.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. They make a lot of adjustments.
And Chip, is that due to just the amount of like when you look at grain, for example, 2023, the amount of grain still in the bin that didn't get sold. So it is going to get sold at lower prices. So that would, So right now we're already looking at the largest drop in net farm income, nominal, looking at dollars wise in history for 2023, 2024. And now Ben's saying 2023, that drop may be even lower than what we, or it may be even drop more than what we thought.
Yep.
And percentage wise, it's not the top, when you look at the